Hello, and welcome to the Muppets for Justice podcast. I'm Adman, and welcome y'all to my crib. Come on inside, let me show you around. Anyway, this is the living room. As you can see, I was going for a futuristic yet Renaissance theme with the decor, and that's why I've covered that armless marble statue with fluorescent LEDs. And this Billy Big Mouth wearing a ruff is simply to die for. Just watch your step there. It's squelchy because that's where the cat likes to be sick. No, you can't meet the cat. He doesn't take unsolicited calls. You'll have to make an appointment between 11 and 3, Monday to Wednesday. Anyway, if you'll kindly follow me upstairs. No, please ignore that vibrating sound from the cupboard under the stairs. I left my phone on there in silent. No, actually, it's subsistence. The house is built on a tectonic plate that's shifting rapidly. In 20 years, I could be living in Tibet, but that's the price you pay for good real estate. Anyway, here we are. This is what you came to see. My bedroom, right? Just back issues of Angling Times that I like to keep by the bed. No, don't touch. No, I don't know why the pages are stuck together like that. I guess that's just what happens to paper when it gets old. besides, that's a vintage edition, that one. That's the 1988 April issue. It's quite a rarity in that the printing error on the front led to the catfish being coloured green. They recalled the issue, so it's actually worth a fortune. The hours I spend with that one, thumbing through that issue with my other hand down my... never mind then. Anyway, yeah, I think it's time for you to leave. I've got an appointment with the bailiffs about 2:30 that I simply have to be out for. Okay, until next time, bye-bye.
Hi, so glad you could make it.
No problem, thank you for inviting me.
Did you find us okay?
Yeah, fine. GPS is a wonderful thing.
Great. Well, what are you stood out there for? Come in.
Thanks.
Oh, I forgot to mention. We don't wear our shoes in this house.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, if you could just take them off, please. We're into the whole taking shoes off thing. We don't want outside germs and dirt all over the floors.
Of course, I don't want to mess up the new house or anything.
Thanks. Could you also take your jacket off?
Okay, yeah.
And your clothes.
What?
Your clothes could be trailing in bacteria from the outside. We don't believe in clothes in this house.
But you're...
Yes, my clothes are clean. I haven't been out in them.
I'd really prefer not to.
Don't worry. Everyone else will be naked. There are some girls here you might like.
Girls?
Yes.
Can I at least keep my underwear?
No, it's everything or you'll have to leave.
Okay,
great. Come on through.
I feel a little bit, whoa, what's happening?
Oh yes, we don't believe in gravity in this house.
Shit, I'm floating, shit.
Of course, silly.
I'm not too keen on being naked around this ceiling fan.
If you can just float away from it.
Seriously, someone needs to turn that fan off right about...
Thanks a lot, Carl. You've just spread blood all over the Volavants. Right, that's it. Everyone out. Party's over. Thanks, Carl.
Greetings, And welcome to Connoisseur's Corner. This week we have a cheeky little number. It's a 1994 vintage Pinot Chablis Mignon. This wine has half a body, which means it's quite light and doesn't fill you up like a steak dinner. When I taste it, I get a hint of grapes. Grapes that have been smashed down by the unwanted cells of some sort of French peasant, I suppose, and then fermented in a barrel for nearly two decades. Rotting fruit combined with foot cheese and dirt. It's perfect with fish, poultry, or Aunt Bessie's gravy granules.
Hello, and welcome to the BBC's Audio Description Service, Television for the Blind. You are watching the annual Funny Face Competition 2013. The main title screen has appeared. A jingle is playing. It's rather catchy, actually. Now our commentators are having a discussion. On screen, the first competitor's stats appear. It has... It's disappeared far too fast for me to read it all out to you. And here, the first competitor takes to the stage. Oh, look at that face, Jesus! I can't even describe that contortion. That takes Gurney to a whole new level. Man, I wish you could see this. Holy Christ, you're missing out. Okay, his first routine is finished. The judges are holding up their scorecards. The scores have disappeared far too quick for me to read. I think it was an 8. Might have been a 6. I'm not really sure. The judges are giving feedback. Here, let me shut up for a second, listen to them, and then I'll tell you what's going on, okay? Right, spare me 2 seconds. Oh, shit. Hello? No, I'm working. No, I'm working right now. Loads of people can hear you right now, Mum. Yes, now. Okay, bye. I'm sorry, I missed what the judge was saying. I had to take an important call. The second competitor's just come out onto the podium. He limbers up and... Whoa, what an ugly face! His tongue's all over the shop. What's the point? You can't see this. My job is completely pointless. Screw this. I don't even care if I get fired. Perhaps I could get a nice gardening job instead. Fuck this shit. Hey yo, you're listening to me, Jim Eastwood, on Radio 1. With me today is Conservative MP and Education Secretary, Terry Winchester. So Terry, how's things?
Things are rather good, Jim, my old fruit. How's the family?
Hey yo, I ain't tied down, bruv. So anyway, let's get down to business. We're gonna ask you a bunch of difficult questions that our listeners are gonna need answers to. Know what I'm saying?
Certainly. I imagine that my work as Education Secretary affects many of your young listeners.
For real. So first off, what does MP actually stand for?
A Member of Parliament.
Correct. Question 2. Have you ever hit a pipe?
Certainly not. And if there's a problem with my pipes, I call in a plumber immediately.
No, Terry, I'm talking about drugs.
Oh, well, I imagine that a lot of your listeners are affected or into drugs. Although I've never taken them myself, one of my bunkmates at Oxbridge once got his hands on some drugs. They were shocking drugs. Hard drugs that made him dribble for 20 minutes onto my pillow.
What kind?
It was a long time ago, but I believe it was ecstatic pills. Although I'm not a drug abuser myself, I understand the plight of the drug taker.
For real. So, what kind of music do you like?
Well, I've been listening to a lot of this pubstep music that's around. Do your listeners like pubstep?
Dubstep.
Right, I'm very into it. Rather catchy. Sometimes I like tap my toes to it during Prime Minister's questions.
So who do you like?
Oh, well, lots of folks. There are plenty of fine musicians out there in this particular genre.
Name one.
Oh, well, if pressed, I'm rather partial to the work of 50 Cent.
Whoa, you like 50?
Certainly. I heard a song of his once about opening a candy shop. I believe that he has the business acumen to achieve it. I would rather happily purchase confectionery from Mr. 50 Cent.
You should make him a business advisor to the government.
Indeed, but I don't think the stuffy opposition in the shadow cabinet will go for that, Jim.
Yeah, man. So where do you hang out? You go clubbing?
Oh, yes, I go to a golf club. And then there's a private members club in Fenchurch that's very exclusive. No riffraff.
A VIP club? No way, man. I didn't have you down as a player. Who's the DJ there?
I don't know if there is one.
Sounds banging.
Well, no, I imagine that they do the construction work out of hours so as not to disturb members from their Sunday times.
Anyway, I got a couple of songs to play on rotation like 50 times a day. So before I do, is there anything you want to tell us about, you know, government and stuff?
Yes, the opposition party wants to take away your drugs and your rights to keep your baby if you're under 16.
For sure. Cheers, Terry.
Good evening, Real Tech Customer Service. My name's James. How may I help you today?
Oh, yeah. I got a problem with my product. The serial number is 2X4B.
Certainly, sir. And what seems to be the problem?
Yeah, it doesn't get me off.
Sir, I don't think you're using the grill correctly. You need to...
James, let me stop you there. Tell me, do you get a price for these calls?
Yes, sir.
And are these calls being recorded for training or monitoring purposes?
No, sir. We send you a questionnaire asking you to rate the service you've received.
That's good, James. Real good. I think we could both mutually profit from this. You need some good feedback, and I need to get off.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm not following you.
What are you wearing?
Sir, I thought you were calling about your grill.
Just go with it, James. What are you wearing?
Just a polo shirt? A pair of black pants?
Not anymore. Now you're in buttless leather chaps.
Sir, I don't think that's appropriate.
Come on, my little shower monkey. You'll do anything for good feedback, won't you, James?
Yes?
Oh, hell yeah. Louder.
Yes?
Oh, fuck yeah. That's it. Are you gonna call me sir again?
Yes, sir.
Oh, shit sauce. James, here's something special. Real special. Now listen, I'm gonna be calling back tomorrow, so be ready.
But I'm not working tomorrow.
No, James, you're not listening. I'm calling you tomorrow, so make sure you're in. If you want this feedback, you're gonna have to earn it.
Yes, sir.
Good.
To close this podcast, I'd like to read a piece that I wrote a few years back. It's called Q Nation, and it's all about the peculiar British institution that is queuing. For a little bit of background, if you're American or otherwise overseas,
We Brits will basically join the end of any queue, even if we don't know what we're queuing for. I guess we just like the order of things, I suppose. Anyway, please enjoy. On my usual commute, I saw an interesting advert for a tantalising sale, which was imminent in an adjacent building. The sale promised low, low prices and a crazy bargain inferno, so I felt compelled to join the amassing souls as I was assimilated into their collective and assigned a position in the current queue. 2 hours later, and our meagre queue was already starting to gather steam. Looking behind me, I could not see where the queue came to an end. I could only speculate on its length at this point, but it was probably as big as a community meeting to discuss the council's controversial zoning laws, which is pretty big in Britain. Little did I know that by the end of the day we'd be looking at thousands of shoppers. As time went by, the queue began to take on a small community of its own. Small businesses were seizing the opportunity to deliver cheap takeaway food to this captive audience. Slang terms rapidly began to evolve in order for us all to be informed of major events up and down the queue. Words sprung up such as top and bot for wanting to purchase a set matching set of clothes from the sale, and scuzzbog for anyone who would knock you to the ground and step on your tongue to get the best bargains. Before long, this sophisticated system would serve as an effective communication tool to keep us all abreast of the latest in-queue news, gossip and developments. One woman nearby went into labour, and we all had a whip round to buy her a nice card and a bunch of flowers once the store opened. Our queue was becoming mighty indeed. With its own thriving community and a budding economy, the queue was becoming an altogether different beast. The MPs in Westminster were starting to get slightly nervous by our numbers, with one backbencher trying to invoke martial law in order to get the queue off the streets. Nearby, high street stores were beginning to complain that prospective customers had not been able to get through their front doors for the last fortnight. In order to show our peaceful intentions, the musicians amongst our number sang some soothing melodies throughout the night to quell their hostility. This seemed to quench their anger for the time being. Mere days after this, the queue began to bustle with news of a much larger queue far away in Eastern Europe. The other queue had started in Russia as people queued up to receive their winter fuel handouts and had managed to uproot itself and drift across the continent. In an effort to learn more, we sent out scouts to intercept them. This proved to be a fatal mistake, as this merely confirmed our existence to the foreign queue, and word got round that they were headed this way, hungry for discount prices. Mass panic ensued as we began to stockpile our resources ready for a potential conflict. We collected several million pounds in funds and used this to arm ourselves with a vast amount of tent poles from a nearby yeoman's store. We also amassed the largest amount of pocket lint ever seen in the Western world. Before long, the foreign horde appeared. Their numbers were far more horrific than we could have possibly imagined, nearly 200,000 strong by this point, as if they'd been gathering stragglers across Belgium and France like a ravenous catamari. We only amounted to half that amount, in the most generous of estimates. An uneasy silence broke out as the two queues stared at each other, unsure of what would happen next. Slowly, the more daring members of their society began to shoulder their way into our queue, barging their way in, turning their noses up at anyone who dared to mutter, "Excuse me!" In this brutal, sickening display of rudeness, the outsiders stepped up their takeover as more and more of them broke off and tried to integrate with us, like jamming a broom handle into the stump of a recent amputee. This devastating attack started to sever our communication lines and isolate small pockets of our resistance into manageable, bite-sized chunks. Before long, our utopian society was being split up before my very eyes. I lost some good friends in the conflict, friends I'd held for nearly 12 months. I saw one woman barged out of the queue entirely, and I could only watch in horrified awe at the brusqueness of the offending gentleman's demeanour over his actions. It was speculated that the woman was doomed to float around the infinite wastes of Main Street until she died. My only hope is that future generations find this communication and understand the atrocities that were committed here. Please learn from the mistakes of your forefathers and never accept the contaminants of the foreign queue. Do not take their presence lying down. Stand up and fight. Again, oh, the store's just opened. See you later. I'd just like to say thank you for listening to my ramblings, and thank you to all the people who have contributed their voices to the podcast today. You can see their names and links to their websites on muppetsforjustice.blogspot.co.uk. If you like what you've heard today, you can read more at muppetsforjustice.blogspot.co.uk. If you don't like what you've heard today, then go to muppetsforjustice.blogspot.co.uk anyway, or search for Muppets for Justice on Google to insult me. If you want to give me feedback or make fun of my accent, then feel free to email me at admin_00@hotmail.com. Peace out.